This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
And it is that time of the week when we are joined by Fionn Davenport for his ultimate guide. We are, if I'm right in my maths, Fionn, we are at third best city in the world.
My third favorite city in the world, and it's a city that I think most Irish people are, if not familiar with, certainly have some knowledge of, and that's London.
Oh, I love London. I actually think it's a great city.
London. Okay, let me make my pitch for London. It's, first of all, it's our nearest neighbouring capital.
Yeah.
It's a city that has strong connections to Ireland. But that's not the reason why, I think.
By the way, the DUP will not be happy with you. But yes, you're right. It is our nearest neighbouring capital.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, but I would make the argument that it's the only European city to be a true global megalopolis, like, as in, like, it's a massive city, first of all. It's like, whatever, 13 million plus people. It's an international city in a way that that dwarfs the other big European capitals.
More so than Paris or Rome, Berlin.
Paris is a very small city, and it's a very French city.
Yeah.
Berlin maybe, but I think history, I just don't think Berlin just doesn't have what London has. Rome absolutely doesn't have. I love Madrid. Madrid made my top 10, but even Madrid, for all of its imperial grandeur, doesn't have what London has. London, if you walk down from, let's say, St. James's Park, down the Mall to Buckingham Palace, and you get the sense of a city that's like, whoa, this is a big city. It's imperial, it wears its imperial history, but it also wears its modernity. It does it all in this incredible city. I think it's a city that old cliche of, like, it's, you can never get bored in London. There's always something to do. There's always something to see.
That it has a vibe and it has a vibrancy. I don't mind even the crush down in the tube. You know, everywhere's packed and everywhere's busy. I don't mind any of it. I'm glad you picked London because it is one of my favourite cities. Not least because I've been going to it since I was a kid, but also it's easy to get to. And when you're there, as you say, you can literally be there in an hour. And obviously with airports and all factored in on top of that. And then you're in the centre of a place that feels like the centre. It feels like stuff is happening there. You know, I remember that one of the first times I went as a teenager, and I'd been as a child as well, but I remember being excited because I knew in my teenage head that this was the city, the Top of the Pops was being recorded in. Do you know what I mean? Like, we were always on the peripheries and this was at the heart of things, and I think it has that feeling.
So in the notes that I prepared, and they're scattered all over the place because London by definition just can't be contained, so I made a list. I broke it out into three. I mean, yes, of course, you've got the big ticket attractions, everything from the Tower to Big Ben, the London Eye, and all of the museums from the Tate Modern to the National Gallery, the V&A, etc., etc. Yes, you can do all of those things, and you should. Like, you shouldn't really ever visit London multiple times and not visit these. They're great, great museums and things to do for a reason. But I made a list of things that you might necessarily know. I also put together like a random 3-day itinerary. And then just for fits and giggles, I looked online to see the events that are on in March alone. And you're like, oh my God, I need a year and a half just to get through
the... Give us a flavour of what's on in March.
Okay, I'll give you a list. Okay, in March alone, you've got the Schiaparelli exhibition at the V&A. You've got John Proctor is the Villain, which is on at the Royal Court Theatre, which is a contemporary reinterpretation of The Crucible. You've got the Kew Orchid Festival, which is on at Kew Gardens. You've got a David Hockney exhibition at the Serpentine, the Museum of Edible Earth at Somerset House, which is this really kind of interesting multi-sensory exhibition that looks at soil from around the world. It's that weirdly eclectic and selective thing that I found really interesting. There's a Marie Antoinette style exhibition. It's also on at the V&A. You've got St. Patrick's Day. Now, I don't know why I would go to London to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but if you are in London around that time, you've got the Rose Theatre in Kingston has got Our Town, which is Thornton Wilder's famous play. There is a Hervin Anderson exhibition at the Tate. There's Avenue Q musical revival in the West End. There is a Samurai exhibition on in the British Museum. There is a Blitz exhibition at the Design Museum, so on, so on. Coming of Age at the Wellcome Collection. And so, and literally, that's just a random selection of things. And you're going, like, I know tons of people who will pick one of those things and build a weekend around it and go, yes, I'm going to that on Saturday, but we're going to fly in on Friday night. We're going to have dinner here. And then on Sunday, we're going to take a walk. Depending on the weather, we might go into a museum or we might go and have a walk in a park.
There are a lot of sort of standard things that people do when they go, as you say, the sites, whether it's the National History Museum or whatever it is, or the Eye or the Tower. People do those. Then, of course, there's all the other things that people do, that they go to a West End show, all the eating out, they might the Royals, if that's your cup of tea. If you were going to...
What's left of them.
Obviously, that was all on in March, the Royal, formerly known as Andrew. But look... If you were kind of going to give us a 3-day itinerary, is that a possibility?
Yeah, of course you can. Okay, so day one, you want to do historic London. So I mentioned walking from St. James's Park, which is by far the most beautiful of the royal parks. Walk the mile.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Go on.
We'll put this up on our socials, so people don't need to be frantically writing
these things down.
We will put this up on the socials because it's a really good 3-day itinerary.
That ceremonial stretch. So do that in the first morning to get a sense of, like, London's not kidding around. This is a city that with real kind of credentials. Have lunch in and around Covent Garden. There's you don't have to go fancy. There's loads of your interesting chains, but there's some very interesting little restaurants around there.
I was in Covent Garden only about a year ago, and the reason I was there, because I was actually just out for a walk, was because the heavens opened and it was bucketing rain, and we went into the actual bit of the glass place with all the little shops and nooks and crannies and cafes, and you can go in. And there was people who were from the West End who were literally singing opera just in the... So it was a free concert, more or less, of really good
singers.
Who were practicing, and they were going... They're like understudies and things like that, but really, really good. Sat there, had a glass of wine, a few tapas, and listened to that while it lashed rain rather than getting wet.
Isn't it amazing?
The nicest afternoon.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
So I would recommend Seven Dials Market in Covent Garden, which is quite upscale, nice food hall, or Dishoom, which people go mad for. There's one in Covent Garden. In the afternoon, walk the Thames, along the Thames, do kind of old London. So you could visit the Tower if you wanted. You can walk across Tower Bridge, which is still an amazing thing to do. Yep. And then stroll the South Bank.
So South Bank is brilliant, isn't
Shakespeare's
it?
Globe. And even though
I
know
want to go there.
Huh?
I have never, that's one of the things
You've never been?
Not to the Globe.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. Inside, you walk by it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of old London there. And then look, like in the evening time, you could go to like a proper London pub. Like I'm going to name two, and I'm sure everyone has their favourite. The Prospect of Whitby or the Old Thameside Inn. They're really, really good. then go to the Sky Garden at night. Have you? Do you know this place, the Sky Garden?
Indeed.
Yeah, so it's in the walkie-talkie skyscraper, okay? So it's called a walkie-talkie, I don't know why. But anyway, there's a rooftop garden at the very top, and it's all like ferns and fig trees and purple African lilies and stuff. It's really, really gorgeous and lovely way to end your day. You could do culture on day two, so you could, you know, I don't know, go to South Kensington, go to the V&A, the Natural History Museum, or you could go to Bloomsbury and go to the British Museum. Like, honest to God, the Samurai exhibition, I'm dying to get over. Have lunch in Borough Market, like one of the classic... Shane, I have to resist the temptation to try my Frank Butcher Cockney accent.
Go on, mate.
He's down in Market, isn't he?
That's not bad.
That's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah, he's gone down the allotment. And then, like, why don't you go Shoreditch? Like, kind of 15, 20 years ago, Shoreditch was the coolest neighbourhood. Nowadays, it's full of tourists all going, where are the cool people at? And they're not here. They're in Hackney.
They fled.
But St. Paul's Cathedral. Or you could go up to Notting Hill and walk Portobello Road. And again, one of the things I love about London is you can pick an area or a neighbourhood and say, I'm going to focus on that for the weekend.
It's funny, one of the things my wife always says about London, what she loves about it, she says each one is a distinct neighbourhood.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a city of neighbourhoods. Like, I'm a big fan of Marylebone, so Daunt Books, which is that great bookshop there. And
Marylebone's beautiful. You do need to have a deep pockets if you're staying in Marylebone.
Of course.
London is dear... in general, there's no question that if you go out for a meal, and I'm not talking about even the highest of high end, if you go out for a decent, it's pricey. There's no two ways about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to not spend.
No, you are not going to not spend. I think that's exactly right.
Day three?
Day three, I do the parks and the villages. So I said, and go to Hampstead and Village London. So, you know, take the Northern Line right to Hampstead. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Climb Parliament Hill, which has got the best skyline view. So walk Hampstead Heath. Like, the village streets in Hampstead are absolutely gorgeous. It actually doesn't feel like London. It feels like a completely different place. You could go to Regent's Park or Primrose Hill. Then after that, again, walk through Regent's Park. You can have lunch in Primrose Hill Village again. And then in the afternoon...
And if you time it right, of course, things like Regent's Park, they have Shakespeare in the Park and all those things. Those little... If you know you're going, if you are a little bit of a forward planner, you can... tie in things when they're on.
I'm conscious that I'm throwing a dart at the world's biggest dartboard and picking out things.
Well, can I actually just put a slight fly in the ointment?
Go
here
on.
And London is a great city. I don't disagree with anything you've said. I think whenever I think about going there, I'm always a little daunted. I just feel, oh my God, it's kind of an overwhelming city.
He who tires of London, Shane.
He's tired of life. Yeah. But you know what? I actually feel the opposite because and I'm sure you're the same, Shane, because you've been to London a lot of times, I feel no pressure to try and do loads of things. Because
there is exactly
if
that.
I do one thing or two things, that's more than enough for me because I'm probably going to go again and I've been before. So I've already seen lots of things. So I don't need to keep seeing them. And that frees it for me to just have a good time. Does that make sense?
I couldn't agree more. I also think for me is I have to resist the temptation to do the same old thing over and over again every time I go to London. So I'm a creature of habit. Which is strange for a travel writer, but I am weirdly a creature of habit. So there's certain things I like doing, I'll do like really basic stuff. Like I'll go to, like I'll walk through Piccadilly, I'll walk to Tottenham Court Road, and I find myself going, what am I doing?
You've done it before.
So I have to force myself then to go out to the neighbourhoods unless I'm there for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
When Lonely Planet had their offices in London, I used to have to go out to the East End there. And it was always nice because it forced me to kind of go.
Camden Market, is that still a big thing?
I mean, it was. Yeah.
Well,
oh, no,
I spent a summer there in 1990.
I was going to say.
Every Saturday we would go out there.
I don't know how we didn't know each other in the 90s because I was probably there. Because every weekend we'd get in the dungeon. Down to Camden Market,
Camden Market. I remember going over from Dublin in the 80s, and at that time I was getting the boat across, and I go to Camden to buy a leather jacket
End pub and all that business.
I haven't been to Camden in a long time, but I mean, of course.
Lastly, just. Obviously, you can shop till you drop. They have everything from the highest end designer right down to the Camden markets, and
that's
all the other
exactly
borough
right.
markets is true too. And there's every type of eatery Alice. On the planet. The West End is one of the reasons people do go yeah. the big, big shows. How hard is it to get tickets?
You can get day tickets. I mean, the really top-end shows. Like, I imagine you could get, say, Evita, for instance. Yeah. I think you can get a ticket for Evita. Or why bother? Just wait outside for when she comes out and sings Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. But you can. It's similar. Is that there are tickets available on the day, but ideally you would book in advance.
Okay. All right. That London? Is yeah. your number three
number
in the
three.
Ultimate guide.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm a Londoner. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, Phil Danforth, thanks a bit.
I love it. I actually think I want to go. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.